So we'll be reading from verse 18. He says there, the psalmist writes, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." Amen. The psalmist here, this psalm is not necessarily talking about a specific event, though if you go back and look throughout the psalm, it makes reference to specific events, but it's not because of one specific event this psalm was necessarily written. It's a psalm of praise, and it's an invitation specifically even to the saints, more so, to come and praise the Lord and come and hear of his glorious works. And in these last three verses of the psalm, it's speaking specifically on his wonderful works in answered prayer. And he speaks to, in verse 16, he says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God." The psalmist knows that those that fear the Lord know exactly what he's talking about. And those that fear the Lord understand the importance of the truth concerning verse 18, that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Those that fear God, when they hear a verse like that, know exactly the extent of it and the seriousness of it. And that's what the fear of the Lord does. It takes any aspect or element of sin seriously. Well, what a testimony if perhaps that we could one day have, that God would testify of us, his children, as he did of Job. "Behold my servant, one that fears God and eschews evil." He hates evil. He shuns it. He casts it off. And so the psalmist is inviting these ones, come and hear. "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." He's boasting in the Lord. But we're going to focus, only for the sake of time, we're going to be focusing mainly on verse 18. And we'll be, mainly on verse 18. So the psalm here is written, it's not necessarily written as an instruction. The psalmist is simply stating a fact that if I regard iniquity in my heart, then the Lord will not hear me. But it's obviously not the case, because the last two verses of the psalm would not be there if it was the case in the psalmist's life. And so the good news is, beloved, it can be the case for us. We don't have to actually think that every day there's actually something wrong with us. And we can be aware of the present reality that we do have a wicked and a deceitful heart. And we are aware of the present reality that we are bound still, not in bondage to, but bound still in this body of death, whereby flesh is still, our flesh is, the sin nature is still bound in this flesh. And so forth. There's always a daily wrestling that's taking place with the spirit, the flesh warring against the spirit. That's a present reality that we can be conscious of, but like this psalmist, we don't have to stand defeated, though it may be a present reality. But I want to focus here on two specific things on the psalm, and then apply it even to us. But this matter of regarding iniquity. Now, I want to focus first on iniquity. The word iniquity there written, it actually comes and stems from a Latin word which means unequal or unjust. The idea is that if you were to ever see it, though you may not maybe in great detail be able to pick it, but you just know something is not right. An example I'd say is, and I guess builders will definitely have an eye for this, but if you look at the bottom rail of this curtain, you'll see it's fairly level. But if it was something like this, you'd think something's not right. It's unequal. And that's the concept behind iniquity. It's unequal. It's not right. And in application, it's never applied positively. It's always used in a negative connotation and used synonymously with sin. You've perhaps read in the Bible when you go through and you see these two words sometimes used in the same verse or passage of Scripture referring to sin and iniquity. There are different elements to it, though again synonymous. Iniquity generally, for the most part, carries the idea of an inward sin, something that's inward, not necessarily manifest outwardly. Now, you can see outwardly someone's attitude, and I'm sure everyone here knows what I'm talking about. When you're talking with someone, and perhaps in the way they communicate or their body language or whatever the case may be, it may be manifested outwardly, but we know, especially as we're learning and change to His image, the problem is not the outward problem. That's never the issue. The issue is what's in here. It's never the hot water, it's the tea bag. The hot water simply draws out what's in the tea bag. And so iniquity has the idea that it's an inward issue. It's an inward problem. But in essence, the conclusion of the matter is this. The Pharisees were guilty of verse 18. What were they guilty of? Focusing on the outward, but neglecting the inward. The Sermon on the Mount is where the Lord addressed that. But the problem with the Pharisees, and may I say, the problem with some of His children, some of us, oftentimes, more often than none, I'm sure more than we'd like to be, is that sometimes we think because the sin is inward, it's not that big of a deal. Because it hasn't actually come out, then it's kind of still okay. And so that's the idea here when you're regarding iniquity in your heart. But whoever told us, where does it teach us in the Scriptures that inward sin, this iniquity, is not a sin against God? Whoever told us in the Scriptures, where is it written where it does not say that inward sins, your attitudes, your motives, your thoughts, all of these things, where does it say in the Scriptures that these aren't an issue with God? They're a big issue with God. As a matter of fact, we see even specifically in this context here, it is a big issue to the end that it hinders our prayers with God. It hinders our prayers. When we have a problem hidden in our heart and we're not dealing with that, well, there's going to be consequences. The consequence here, no answer to prayer. See, it's not saying that the Lord cannot hear me. The will not is implying a choice. The Lord is choosing not to hear you because of your iniquity that you're choosing to regard. That iniquity, that inward sin that hasn't showed itself outwardly, just because it's inward and no one can see in your heart but God. By the way, oftentimes the brethren, those especially who are walking with the Lord, can see exactly what's in your heart outwardly. But let me just say that inward sin is what causes God to, in essence, not hear or not hearken. It's a choice. He's choosing not to hear you. But the good news is God is, the Bible tells us that His ears are open unto the prayers of the righteous. And so when you do not regard, when there is no iniquity in your heart, the Lord's ear is open unto your prayers. Iniquity, serious thing. Not equal. It's not right. Something not right about it. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and they might be saying all the right things, but something is saying there's something not right about this? I can't put my finger on it. You know what I'm talking about? Something is not right about what he just said, or something's not right about his attitude, or there's a problem. You can't see it. He's saying all the right words, but you're seeing something come through that's not necessarily tangible or outward, but you just know something's not right. And that's what iniquity is. It's something inward that begins inwardly, and be sure, if you regard it long enough, it would definitely manifest itself outwardly. And so the psalmist is aware of this. Even Job's friends making an accusation against Job and him saying he understands the consequences if he was to commit certain iniquity. This talking about lusting over a maid, he says in his heart, he's not done such a thing. So much so, he says, if I've done that, then let it be done to my wife. He is that, again, you can have that assurance that no, iniquity is not reigning in my heart. There's, as far as I know, between me and my Savior, there's nothing between us. Nothing in my heart against the Lord. But even Job knew that, man, it's a serious thing. It's a big thing. It's not a little thing. Iniquity. It's not only been translated in our King James Bible as the word iniquity, but it's also used in other words, and it's very interesting to note other words that it's been used to be translated in. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6 And I want you to see concerning this same matter what God says about it. Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Notice this, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Wicked imaginations. That word wicked there is the same word. And according to verse 16, God finds that to be an absolute abomination in his sight. Why are our prayers hindered when we regard iniquity in our heart? Because it is an abomination in God's sight. And if you don't see it, if you don't see this iniquity, this sin in any form and in any capacity as an abomination, then of course you're going to take it lightly. Of course you're going to think it fine. Of course you think it's not a problem. It's as far as you think, you know, no one's onto you. No one's onto you. But how foolish when we forget that God knows what's in the heart. How foolish to forget that God is the one that looketh upon the heart. He searches the heart and tries the reins, and he's the one that sees if there's any wicked way in you. How foolish to forget that. But when you forget that, and more so when you regard that, it's going to be a big hindrance between not your brethren and the Lord, between you and the Lord. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Your brethren might have liberty, and you might look upon your brethren and know, mate, that they've. I just want that. I just want that. Well, perhaps you can start with this matter of asking God to search your heart and try your reins, and perhaps you already know. I don't know if you've ever been like me sometimes when certain attitudes creep up in your heart, or you know your motive behind something, or you know what you said or done or what or wanting to do or so on and so forth, but you don't confess that. You don't call it for what it is. Have you ever had an issue in your heart, an attitude, and then someone asks you, is everything all right? Yeah, it's fine. But in your heart, mate, there's this just anger building up perhaps towards someone. Maybe even towards the one that's asked you, is everything all right? Iniquity, wicked thing. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 14, it makes reference as iniquity being vain thoughts. That's what it is, vain thoughts. And it was that very thing that separated them from the Lord. In Psalm 36 verse 4, it's interpreted as mischief. You're getting up to mischief. And these are all, again, this root word translated in other ways, but the idea coming back to the very essence of it, it's not good. It's not equal. It's not right. It's not right. It's unjust. Before who? Before God. It's not before man. Ananias and Sapphira thought that they were just lying to men, that they were just deceiving the men. They did not realize that this iniquity was against God. They lied against the Holy Ghost. They lied to God. They weren't thinking that. Why? Because it's inward. And it was just between them. It was their little secret. But they found out very quickly that God is the one that sees what's in the heart. God can see that iniquity. God will not be mocked. He will not be mocked in any way. The psalmist was conscious that if he had this in his heart, this iniquity in his heart, then the Lord will not hear him. Though iniquity is the problem, I just want to focus on another word there that preceded that was regard. We know sin is a problem. Sin is an absolute abomination. Sin is what separated us from God. As a matter of fact, sin is what put our precious Savior on that cross. There is nothing good about sin. Nothing good about sin. Sin is a problem. Sin always is a problem. And sin always needs to be dealt with. But although sin is always going to arise, and let me say it again, it will always arise, whether in your heart or done toward you or whatever the case may be, you will be confronted with this battle, this warfare that you are fighting in this element of fighting against sin in yourself, denying the flesh. You don't want to follow it, so you don't make provision for it. come into this word regard, let me say, though sin may be the problem, what's the bigger problem in this matter? That you're holding on to it. That's what's making it worse. It may have started off as the problem being sin, but you know what the problem is now? You're holding on to it. If you are a born again child of God, Romans chapter 6 is very clear, teaching us that we're no longer under the bondage of these things. When you were lost and you did not have the Spirit of God in you, these things were just, you just go with it. You had no, it's not necessarily like you were a zombie, had no power over it. No, but you loved it. That's what you found satisfaction in. You were without God and without hope, and so therefore you needed some sort of release or some sort of satisfaction, and you found it in sin in one form or another. But when you regard it in your heart, that's when it becomes a problem. Let me just say this. That's when you become the problem. You become the problem. The word regard gets in detail. It's the concept behind it is this, that you've seen it. You see it in your life. You've seen it in times past. You're actually still seeing it. You know it's an issue. You know it's there. You're gazing upon it and you give it the approval. And you just keep it there. You latch onto it. You don't deal with it. That's the idea of regarding. It's not necessarily, the word regard can be used in a positive way as well. And that's the idea behind it, is that you see it. You see it there. You've seen it in times past. You're still seeing it. You've looked upon it. You've analyzed it. You've gazed upon it. You've discerned what it is. And you've chosen to approve it and leave it where it is. You've approved it, in other words. That's the word regard. But it ought never to be in our lives connected with iniquity. When we see iniquity in our hearts, when we see it, we've seen it, I've seen it before, and it's rising up again in my heart. I discern it. I know what it is. I ought not to give something like that an approval and leave it there. I ought to deal with it the way God wants me to deal with it. And the Bible's clear throughout the scriptures, but even specifically in the Proverbs, that if you do not confess and forsake your sin, then you're not going to prosper. You're not going to prosper. Regarding iniquity in your heart is going to cause damage to you. It will hinder your walk with God if you have one, if you belong to Him to begin with. And be sure it will eventually hinder others and hurt others. If I regard iniquity in my heart, Matthew Henry says, if I have, in other words, favorable thoughts of it, if I love it, if I indulge in it and allow myself in it, if I treat it as a friend and bid it welcome, make provision for it, and am loath to part from it, you don't want to get rid of it. If I roll it under my tongue as a sweet morsel, though it be but a heart sin, that is thus countenanced and made much of, if I delight in it after the inward man, God will not hear my prayer, will not accept it, nor be pleased with it, nor can I expect an answer of peace to it. You see it, you've seen it before, you're still seeing it, but you don't want to do anything about it. You know it's wicked, and you know it lingers in your heart, even still now. Maybe you think you got away with it because no one knows what's taking place. But you know it's still in your heart. Something you've not confessed. Something you haven't called it for what it is. You're undermining it and therefore regarding it. And so, beloved, be sure if that be the case in your heart tonight, the Lord will not hear your prayer. Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, this matter of regarding iniquity is not a little thing to God. It gives the Lord speaks of one who came to offer up a gift before the Lord. It was perhaps a free will offering, not necessarily for sin or anything of that matter. It was perhaps a free will offering in Matthew chapter 5. And he offers that to the Lord. And what did the Lord tell him? Leave your gift. If your brother hath aught against you, leave your gift at the altar and go make right with your brother. The implication is that this man perhaps came to God, no doubt maybe confessed this situation or issue to the Lord and wanted to just keep on with his walk with God. But God said, hang on a minute. It's one thing if you have a problem to someone to go deal with it, But if you know someone has an issue with you and you've not gone to settle that, leave your gift there and go and settle it. Go and make it right. But this is just an inward thing, isn't it? Settled and done and dusted. No, hang on. If there's a problem, go and deal with it. If you know in your heart there's an issue, deal with it. Because this iniquity, it's not right. It's not good. It's not just. It's unequal. And it's an abomination. And it will be a hindrance. Inward sins, selfishness, unforgiveness, unconfessed sins. Don't brush it under the carpet, beloved. Do not brush it under the carpet. Your prayers will be hindered. The Lord will not hear you. Even a lack of faith, by the way, can be an issue with the Lord. A hindrance. Immoral thoughts, lustful eyes, that immoral tongue, intentionally doing something wrong and then justifying it away. Doing things perhaps even in the name of the Lord, knowing God has nothing to do with it. But you've prayed about it. I just prayed and I've fasted and now I'm going to do it. Wait, hang on. But what did God say? Oh, no. I prayed about it. You didn't hear me. I prayed about it, fasted, and now I'm going to go do it for the Lord in His name. Yeah, but does God want you to do that? No, you haven't heard me. I've prayed about it. I've fasted and I'm going to do it in the name of these things. What am I getting at? Is that if you have a hidden motive and an agenda, this iniquity in your heart, and regardless what God thinks about it, or perhaps even forgetting what God thinks about it, you're going to regard that iniquity in your heart and keep on doing what you want. And when you come before the Lord in prayer, be sure He will not hear you. And there are other illustrations and examples I can give, but for the sake of time, I can't get into it. But beloved, what's the exhortation this evening? These inward matters of the heart, these heart sins that perhaps you think haven't come out yet, your attitudes, your motives, your intentions. How do you find out if it's right or wrong, if it's unequal or if it's just? Well, we have a Word of God that is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There was much more to get into in the matter of the heart, but time would not permit me. But beloved, I just want to encourage you, not only for tonight, but every day and for the rest of whatever time God gives you here on this earth, guard your heart. And if there be any wicked way in you, this iniquity, these sins of the heart, do not regard it. Do not regard it. Reject it. Deal with it. Get rid of it. Make it right. Whatever you have to do. I'll just give one testimony in closing. I remember as a babe in Christ, sitting under the Word of God, God was just dealing with me. Dealing with me week after week, day after day, and I was so sensitive. And anyways, what was taking place is that I was starting to harbour, almost like I was blaming a brother for something. You know, he helped me out by showing me a verse of scripture. More specifically, let me get very specific. He showed me a verse of scripture to show me that I needed to stop smoking. And I didn't understand it completely well, but I understood the concept. And I thought, okay, well, if that's the case, then I've got to stop. And then I was blaming him that it was his fault that he forced me to stop, when it wasn't him, it was the Word of God that dealt with me. And I was harboring this thing in my heart until God dealt with me. He had no idea. He had no idea about it. And that it didn't just stop there on that one thing. It grew, and I was becoming a fault finder. I was making things bigger than what they are. I was almost, I wouldn't say resting His words, but just it just wasn't good, and it was growing until the Lord dealt with me. I can't remember that specific sermon, but I went up to this brother and I said, "I need to talk to you." I said, "You got no idea about this, bro, but I've had bitterness in my heart towards you. I've blamed you for it." And I just confessed it to him. And he's just standing there like, and he's trying to encourage me. And he's saying, "Look, brother, these kind of things you can just take to God and just really settle." I said, "No, brother, look, I had to tell you. I had to confess it. Just so you know, brother, please forgive me. Please forgive me." And I'm only sharing that, look, as just to exhort you, brethren, even if you're being, if you want to go that extra mile to make sure that it's done and dusted, it's better to do that than to be sitting there guessing, "Oh no, God's right with that. That's okay." get it done and dusted. Even if you got to humble yourself, praise God for that, because that's another sermon anyway. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.